Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer joining you from downtown New York City, where guests on Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, open Tuesday through Sunday, 5 until 10 p.m. You can tell Chef Althoff and Chris that Oilers Now sent you. As we head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, and welcome back to the show, one of the most plugged-in men in the business, courtesy of our friends at Abe's Door Service. Whether service is their specialty, visit abesdoor.ca. We welcome back from NHL Hockey and Rogers, Elliot Friedman. Hi, Elliot. How you doing?
I'm good, Bob. I figured you'd be in Times Square hanging around right now at the M&M store or something like that.
You know what I did last night? We had a couple of events yesterday, one before the show, well, as it turned out, one during the show, and then one after the show. For the first time in all of the years that I've been coming to New York, I hopped on the subway with Cam Moon after an event last night instead of taking a cab.
That's good. That's fantastic.
I'm a cab guy or a team bus guy, right?
I like to walk if I can.
Yeah, well, there's some stuff that's not walkable. My rule is 3 blocks or more is not walkable.
What? 3 blocks?
I'm kidding. Maybe 4. But
that is depressing. That is so lame, Bob. Come on. Get off your butt and walk.
All right. Look, we're going to hit on two different topics before we get into the here and now in the NHL. We did have Steve Simmons on yesterday and John Shannon. And Steve's got a new book out, but mm-hmm. you've been in Toronto for all these years. You grew up watching Boyer Salming. Maybe a thought on his passing, and it was a sad day. Just how special of a player he was for that the whole league, but especially that Maple Leafs fan base.
The thing is, Bob, is that I think that the only good thing about it is he got the proper send off, right? We were all allowed to be in a situation where, whether you were a Leaf fan or not, you got to see that weekend. And one of the things that's really stuck with me is, I had a chance to speak to Daryl Sittler briefly yesterday. And after that ceremony happened, I spoke to a guy named Mike Ferriman, who's worked at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment for 28 years and was one of the people responsible for putting on that weekend where Salmon got his tribute. And if you really think about it, how many teams have Friday and Saturday back-to-backs? How many of them have Friday and Saturday back-to-backs on Hall of Fame weekend? It's extremely rare.
Right.
Salming was able to come in with three Swedes who were going into the Hall of Fame that weekend, Alfredson and the Twins. The fact that Toronto had three Swedish forwards, two Swedish defensemen, and a Swedish goalie, who was their third string goalie, unbelievably, who could start that game. So there was a time in the summer, a friend of mine saw Salming with Sittler, and I believe it was Jim McKenney, at a restaurant in Montreal. And they were helping Salming order because he couldn't talk at the time. And I think he was there because of some treatment he was potentially looking at. And, he told Sittler and McKenney then, "I'm coming in for Hall of Fame." He always came in for Hall of Fame. He loved the Hall of Fame weekend. And they were like, "Well, it would be great," but they didn't really believe it. And, he was able to come in and the Leafs told him, "Whatever you want to do, you can do. If you can't do something, say no and we'll take you away." And, his hotel was right near the building, the arena. And on the Friday night, which was the game against Pittsburgh, he walked from the hotel to the arena. And fans recognized him, and he was finger pointing at them and waving and stuff. And I think he stayed till all but the last few minutes of the game to beat the crowd. And you saw the ovation for him on the Friday, and then you saw the ovation for him on the Saturday. And I think he stayed for all but the last few minutes of the game to beat the crowd. I think he went to the Hall of Fame hockey game on the Sunday. He did not go to the induction ceremony, but the Leafs set him up with a private room at a restaurant so he and his family could watch it. And he saw, and he watched the entire thing. I mean, you know, like Bob, as much as I loved him as a player, I think the great thing is that everybody got a chance to say goodbye. And nobody knows with ALS, it's such a brutal disease, how long it was going to be. But I know, as sad as everybody felt yesterday, there was a lot of, at least we got a chance to say a proper goodbye. And I thought that was really special. I love Salming. He was a great player. You know, I did a school project on him when I was young, and I remember in 1976, there was a series between Toronto and Philadelphia that the Flyers won in seven games. But in game three, he got jumped by Mel Bridgman. He got beaten up really badly. Bridgman was actually charged for it. And in game four, and I got the highlight today and I tweeted the link to it, he scored a beautiful goal off a feed from Daryl Sittler. He went in on a breakaway and scored on his birthday on Bernie Parent. And there was a long ovation. And, you know, that was for fans who are older than me, because I was only 5 years old at the time, that was the memory a lot of them had of Salming as a player. He took that physical beating and he came back and scored. And in a lot of ways, that's who Boreas Salming was. So, I mean, it's really sad, but the only good thing about it is that he got the proper goodbye from the hockey fans in North America.
Well stated by Elliot Friedman. Elliot, and I know we've discussed this privately before, I did watch that series. I'm a little bit older than you. I despise the mid-1970s Flyers. One of the greatest moments ever was when Dave Dunn at the University of Saskatchewan absolutely destroyed the Hound Bob Kelly when Dave Schultz was doing the Hogtown salute by putting his hand up to his nose as to suggest that Toronto stunk. And you mentioned Jim McKinney. Billy Duke. Mm-hmm. In the classic 1971 hockey film Face Off, not the Nicolas Cage one from 97, but the Canadian production with Art Hindle and Trudy Young back in the day.
Yeah.
And was he not a sportscaster like forever?
Oh, yeah, very popular one. City TV in Toronto, hugely popular sportscaster. People love Jim. Yeah.
All right. Now, our second total aside before we get to the hearing. The whole country in the United States right now is watching the Americans play England in soccer. And I got to tell you, the Americans are looking pretty good. They're taking it to the English here, which is a bit of a surprise. England's my pick. You lose the Euro at home, you win the World Cup. That's how it works.
France. Oh, really? Okay. I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
Well, I think, and England's put a lot of emphasis on developmental systems and improved skill and that sort of thing. How about Canada against Belgium? And still lacking a little bit of polish and finish. I think that'll come in time, but I think we're headed to a pretty good place, aren't we, in international soccer? What do you think, Elliot?
Well, I mean, I would not consider myself a soccer expert by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, we're all experts, Elliot.
Yeah, but I thought they played really well. Like, I do like the big soccer tournaments. I love the World Cup. I love the bit like the Euros. I love those big events. I thought they played pretty well. I mean, look, you know, it's a totally different game if Davey scores. You know, like the one thing I've really thought about, I've asked some people who know more about soccer than I do, is I just thought it seemed like that took a ridiculous amount of time from the moment he was standing there until he kicked and the referee blew the whistle to allow the attempt. And I just thought the more time elapsed, the more he was just standing there, the worse it was for him, because you overthink. I think the advantage goes to the keeper at that point in time. And I just thought he had to stand there too long to wait. And, you know, I remember when one year when I was playing basketball, we had a player who was fouled with like no time left to shoot free throws to win the game. And the coach said to us, don't just sit there, like throw a basketball to him back. And we actually like passed a basketball back and forth, and you know, he made one of the two shots to win the game, but he said that that really helped him because he would have been sitting there for a minute being like totally nervous. So I always kind of wondered about that about Davies, but I thought the team in that shot, but I thought the team played, I thought they played great. Like I really did. Like, but in soccer, and again, I'm not the biggest expert in this. I understand that's what the great teams do. They bend, but they don't break. And they capitalize on their chances. So I'm looking forward to Sunday. I mean, that's a super talented team. They are fun to watch.
Yeah, there's no question. Like, they're just, you know, they lack a little poise and finish because they're young and they can run. And I think tactically we all have an appreciation for how they played. And I think Canada's just going to keep getting better. I think that's inevitable. All right, switching focus to the National Hockey League. It is U.S. Thanksgiving. There are teams that are not where they want to be right now. And in fact, you're on a show in Edmonton where the team isn't where it wants to be. Is it starting to pick up out there? Are you hearing anything on the trade discussion fronts around the league?
Well, I mean, there were a couple of trades this week, not obviously big deals, but they were ones where the clock kind of was a factor. You know, Connor Timmins was traded the day his... was traded the day his AHL conditioning stint ended, and then Arizona would have had to put him on waivers if they want to send him back down. They felt they were going to lose him, and you know they made the deal because they just didn't want to lose him for nothing. So that was that deal. You know, Ryan Reeves had asked for a trade if he wasn't going to play, and the Rangers were happy to accommodate, and Minnesota was willing. So those kind of were fortuitous. I think there is more conversation out there. I think we're starting to see some separation. I think the tough thing is you look at Toronto. I think they're looking for a D and a left shooting forward. Well, we'll see what they know Riley's coming back, right? So it's the same thing that you guys have with Kane. You guys know that Kane is coming back. So as you know, in that situation, Bob, nothing you can do can be done without keeping room for Kane. I think you guys have been looking. I haven't heard, I don't think there's been anything that's really tempted you guys a ton. Remember last year when it was going really badly, Holland held. So you know he doesn't really feel the pressure the way a lot of other people would. And I don't think he's going to race to make a move just to make it. I mean, to me, like the game the other night, as I wrote today, Sorokin had one of the best shutouts in like the history of the expected goals era. You guys aren't getting saves, and other teams are, and that's one of the biggest differences. I do think, Bob, though, I think that there is concern that without Kane in the lineup, you guys are a little too easy to play against.
Oh, there, Elliot? The Edmonton Oilers are too easy to play against. They have no dimension to change or alter the course and direction of the game through physicality. They've built a team, and it has to be addressed. And you can't be sitting there signing. I mean, 2 years ago, they signed Slater Cuckoo and Devin Short at 2-year deals. And we're talking a number 7 defenseman and a number 13, 14 forward. And some people would say, you can't do that. You got to just do 1-year deals on players like that. Now, Slater went down to the minors, played 2 games, and we haven't seen him since. He's dealing with what he's dealing with. We wish him the best of luck. And in Shore's case, he is a popular guy on the team, but he hasn't gained any traction at all with Jay Woodcroft. And the question that a lot of our listeners would have would be, what's his dimension? And I guess in theory he's supposed to be a fourth line. You know what he is? He's a 13th forward. That's what he is. He's a guy that can play multiple positions, and he gives you what he's got. I think it's incumbent upon Ken Holland and Brad Holland and Steve Staels and company to find at least one forward at some point here with a little bit of bite. Because and then in the offseason, I think it has to be addressed further. Ironically enough, Elliot, they're not going to have $6.5 million in LTIR that they got to play up to. And then, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to have actual real cap space at the start of next season, which will facilitate things. Chychrun back. You've mentioned the hesitation with teams around the league on him. Is the asking?
And I don't, I don't, I don't, don't think you guys are on him still. I know I always get, is Edmonton in on Chychrun? I mean, I could always be wrong. It's happened, but I don't think you guys are there. I don't.
Yeah, well, situations are fluid, as you know. I mean, I'm actually like Bouchard. You know, I put a tweet out on his analytics the other day, Elliot, and you look at Bouchard and he's minus 10, and the same people that years ago, oh, I got to get rid of Petrie, are the same people because they want to get rid of Bouchard because they don't understand a defenseman that allow the puck to do the work. And he's gone through a tough time, but he's got a high offensive mm-hmm. ceiling. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have people, they should just trade Broberg or Bouchard and get Chychrun. Yeah, there's no way I would have done that at the start of the year.
I don't know that, again, I've looked into Chychrun and you guys before, and I keep getting told similar things, that it's not something that you guys really are too keen on doing. And again, you're right, it's fluid. Things can always change, but I really don't get that sense. The team that I've really begun to wonder about with Chychrun is Columbus. You know, obviously they're not giving up their first rounder this year. That's crazy. But you know, they lost Werenski for the season. They haven't announced Jake Bean yet, but I think he's out for a long time. You know, Blankenberg's out for a few weeks. You know, they have picks and prospects. I have wondered if that could end up being the team. Now, I'm not saying he's going there, but they've been in and out of that. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're thinking about it again, because their blue line is absolutely decimated.
So Toronto with some help on D, Columbus with some help on D, the Oilers maybe a little bit of muscle, and we have texters asking, I've mentioned Zach MacEwen in the past, for a cap situation, he was placed on waivers earlier this year, but he's playing pretty high in the lineup right now for John Tortorella, isn't he?
Well, Tortorella likes those guys, and you know, the thing about Philly is their fans haven't liked their team the last little bit, and the one thing I think those fans do like is they like that the team plays hard, and Tortorella likes that. So I mean, it could be like it depends, like, you know what, everybody's available almost in this league, so it depends on what you're willing to do and what they're willing to do. But I know that they've kind of liked the fact that they've shown a bit more bite this year. There's no question about that.
All right, I don't mean to radio you. Okay. Horvat, does he get traded out of Vancouver?
I have to tell you, I in a lot of ways, I'm really surprised it's gotten to this point. If we go back to last summer, Bob, I thought he was getting signed. And I would bet you that the Canucks thought he was getting signed and Horvat thought he was getting signed. And it just didn't happen. I think that the Canucks came in lower than Horvat and his camp would have hoped, and they countered higher than the Canucks would have hoped. And I do think it's one of the reasons that Miller eventually got signed, is because they didn't want to go into the season with both of them not done. So I am surprised that we're here. I don't think there's been a lot of progress. I do think his price is going up. He's having a phenomenal season. I think Jim Rutherford's been doing this a long time. The guy who reps Horvat, Pat Morris, has been doing this a long time. I think you've got two veterans here. Look, the Canucks came out of nowhere, restarted talks with Miller. It got it done like 2 or 3 days after they restarted. I have a line. I have several lines, but I have a line that past performance is a predictor of future performance. I think the thing the Canucks have to most worry about here is how does the player feel about all this? But they have proven that they can do an about face and get a deal done in a short term if they really want to. And that's why I wonder if there's any chance we could see that happen. I think they've had calls. I think there's legitimate interest. But Jim Rutherford, I don't think he feels he has to hurry. And he can wait if he wants to.
Elliot, one final one for you. I'm not going to ask you about Toews and Kane. You know, something's got to give there. But is there a...
I don't know if anything's changed there yet.
All right.
But I'm going to ask you about the secondary market. Is there hope that they can get something for Domi or for Athanasiou, who they signed a one-year deal at $3
million? I think so. I think the thing is, though, Bob, is that we're starting to see some separation. Like, the Ducks are out there. You know, I think they're willing to talk about a lot of things. I mean, obviously, the Sharks are willing to talk about a lot of things. Like, there, you know, there's teams out there that are going to be willing to talk about things. So I wonder if it comes down to who moves first and who gets stuck with some, you know, extra, with extra pieces, or just stuck with players that there's nowhere for them to go. So that's what I'm kind of wondering about here. You know, one of the things I've wondered, honestly, Bob, is, do you guys go get Klingberg? You know, we kind of thought that that might happen at some point. And I've kind of wondered about that, because when does he really start to become a factor here? Because I don't think Anaheim's going to feel a need to hold on. And he hasn't played great, but 12. You know, there was a lot of interest. There was a lot of interest in him in the off season, including in a place where you host a radio show. And I'm not talking about Manhattan.
All right. Hey, Elliot, the end of the day, which did you like, Youngblood or Faceoff more?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I was what, 17, 18 when Youngblood came out? Like, you always have a bias, Bob, towards things that come out when you're a teenager.
I was a big fan of Cynthia Gibb myself in that movie, so.
The whole movie was great. It's a great movie.
It's a great, Dee Millard, Darren's brother, Dee Millard's the biggest fan I know of Youngblood, so makes numerous references to it. So it was a great movie. To this day, I sort of patterned my on-ice persona off Radke from that movie, so there you have it.
Oh, yeah, keep dreaming, Bob. Keep dreaming, come on.
Hey, great stuff, Elliot. Thanks for your time, my man.
All right, Bob. Have a great weekend. Enjoy New York, okay?
Thank you very much. It is 12:55 in Edmonton. We'll take a two-minute timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Last night, we had an Oilers Now road trip shaker at a establishment. It was wonderful. There was about 60 people there, and some of the media brethren showed up as well. It was a great time. And if you're looking for a perfect holiday gift, you can join Oilers Now in Vegas this January to see the Oilers play the Pacific Division rivals, the Vegas Golden Knights. This New West travel hockey package includes airfare, 3 nights at the 5-star Cosmopolitan Hotel on the Strip, great game tickets, and a welcome reception with yours truly. For the Oilers Now Hockey Vegas package, reach out to newwesttravel.com. Quickly into the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 1257 in Edmonton. Sugar Sean has texted the show to say, Bob, you always seem to hold the Oilers management accountable, but why so much talk about toughness and the need to address it forward? Our defense, says Sugar Sean, is terrible. Soft as tissue paper. No clue as to how to actually defend. If the Oilers didn't have to automatically score 3-plus goals a game, our record would be much better. Something has to give. If they're going to be competitive this season, they need to find a replacement for Duncan Keith. That one comes to us from Sean. Sean, I got to tell you, I am a little bit disappointed in the defense, but, you know, the plan was for Broberg to be in the third pairing on the left side. He got knocked out of the rotation due to injury. Niemelainen and Murray alternated, and now we're going to see Broberg. Now, if in 10 games from now they're still taking on the degree of water and Bouchard hasn't pulled forward a bit,
I think they do have to look at a trade. But in the immediacy of right now, I think it's easier to get a little bit of muscle further down the lineup with the absence of Evander Kane. So that's why I prioritized toughness. It's partially as to what might be out there and also acquisition cost, but also timing with the potential deployment of Philip Broberg. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back in Oilers Now, Rob Brown.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.